Well, good morning. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Well, it is a joy to be here this morning. I just want to say thank you again to the choir, the orchestra, and Brother Aaron for Carols 2023. How many of y'all enjoy that? Amen. So I've got a few announcements this morning. We are sponsoring the Christmas gifts for 115 children of Light of the Village this year. Donations can be made online, or they can be put in the offering box as long as they're designated at the bottom on the four area of a check that says that that's for the Light of the Village gifts. Suggested donations are about $25, which would help, but any amount will help. We're collecting these funds through December 20th, but we don't have service Wednesday night, so you have to bring it to the office. Lottie Moon offering is going on throughout the month of December. Let me just remind you, every penny that comes in through Lottie Moon goes to the IMB to support our international missionaries. Last year, I had the opportunity to go and see firsthand what was taking place, and I'm telling you, the IMB does such an amazing job. It is a wonderful organization, part of the SBC. And I am so thankful that we get to support and be a part of them. Also, I want to share with you just a few midweek and Christmas schedule. There will be no midweek activities the next three Wednesday nights. Usually we take two Wednesday nights off during this time, but the way that it falls, there's still kids out of school on January 3rd and or on the 4th, 3rd or 4th, one of those dates. But anyway, so the next three Wednesday nights, we will not be having service in here, worship in here. There will not be children or youth activities. So enjoy the time with your family over Christmas. And then also the next two Sundays, which is Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, we will not have life group on Sunday morning. We will have our time in here. I'll be preaching on Christmas Eve, and then Brother Matthew will be preaching on New Year's Eve as I spend some time with my family at Christmas. So looking forward to seeing you next week on Christmas Eve at 10:30 here, and then we'll also have our time at 10:30 on New Year's Eve on the 31st. We have two important pieces of business to do today. One is to affirm those who have been nominated to be a deacon. And so I just want to read off these names. You've had a couple weeks to kind of share if you had any questions. William Flagg, Jimmy Lambert, Larry Martin, Ron Owen, Stephen Richardson, James Shore, and Meredith Smith are all those who have been nominated to be deacons, and they serve for 3 years, so this would be a 3-year commitment for each of them. So I'm going to ask the church, all that are in favor of affirming them as deacons, please say aye.
Aye.
And all opposed, like sign. Okay, praise God. So we are excited about each of them as they are, some of them are returning and two are their first time here at Luke 4:18. And then also, as I've shared with you the last couple weeks, we are going to affirm our 2024 proposed budget. You've had several weeks with it being in the back, and I've told you that if you had questions, please see Martin as he could answer that. And after having several weeks of looking over that, we're going to affirm today. So all those who affirm our 2024 budget, say aye. And oppose, like sign. Praise God. So those two acts of business are done, and I just rejoice in what God is going to do in the years to come. As Brother Fred always said, the days ahead are as bright as the promises of God, and I believe that with all my heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin today. And Father, we rejoice in the God of our salvation. We praise your holy name. And Father, this morning I pray that as we worship, that we'll worship from a pure heart, clean hands and a pure heart. Father, I pray today that as we look at the story of the birth of your Son, that Jesus came and died and rose again. Father, I pray that we would not just simply bypass this knowing the story so well, but that we would ask, Father, show us, speak to us today. Even in a message that is so known to us, may we understand even more as we seek your face. And Father, may we worship you, and may it be all about you, and may we bring glory to your name today, for it's in your precious and holy name, the name above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to thank you this morning for all of you that came out Sunday night. I'm very proud of our praise ministry here as we love the Lord with our heart, soul, mind, and strength by the way that we sing and point others to Christ. And that's what we're trying to do each and every Sunday as we gather together to grow in Christ together. If you're a guest with us today, we're so glad that you're here. If you will fill out the card that's in the seat back pocket right in front of you, and then you can put it in one of our offering boxes in the back. We'd love to give you a little bit more information about Luke 4:18 Fellowship. It is Christmas time, and I can see everybody in their Christmas sweaters and red and green today. So let's stand together and sing Joy to the World, that Christmas carol together. Why don't you greet somebody around you here at Luke 4:18 Fellowship.
Joy to the world, the Lord. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men
about the wonder, the grace, and the mercy that was given to us on the cross, that Jesus would be our sacrifice. He was holy, or He is holy, and He cannot abide sin, but He made a way for us in Jesus Christ. We say that He's like a lion and also a lamb. We're so thankful that He was the Lamb of God today.
He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down, and every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power, and He's fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lamb. Yes, every knee will bow before Him.
Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that He's Lord, yes. Who can stop the Lord? And who can stop the Lord Almighty? And who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? And who can stop the Lord? Yeah, our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power, and His five battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, and every knee will bow before Him.
You may be seated as we continue in worship today. And He finished that work of redemption on the cross, that we would take on the sin of the world to be our sacrifice. There is love.
There is love that came for us, humble to a sinner's cross. You broke my shame and sinfulness. He rose again victorious.
Faithfulness none can deny.
Faithfulness none can deny. Through the storm and through the fire, there is that sets me free. Jesus Christ, who lives in me. Your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name. Higher, be lifted higher.
Amen. He has all authority, has been given unto him. He has a name that is above every other name. And he has called everyone in all creation to be saved, for him to be their Lord and their Savior personally. Amen? Aren't you glad? So you can take those things that are heavy on you right now and lay them down at this altar. And I know that he'll be there to carry your burdens. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Of Jesus Christ. What a Savior, isn't he wonderful? Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord. Was bought with the precious.
cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Let's sing, "Oh Come, Let Us Adore Him" today.
Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Thrice the Lord for you.
Father, we do wish to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise that is due your name. We pray that we would always remember just exactly what it took for you to purchase our redemption. The struggle that you had to go through, the humility that you had to display to come as a baby to this world, to grow up, to live a perfect life, to die a death on a cross, to raise again on the third day. We pray, Lord, that we would be able to say with certainty and without a doubt in our mind that you are our Lord, that you are our Savior, and that you are our all in all today. We pray that we would make that confession together as a body of believers, and that we would be able to share that with others that are beyond these four walls, Lord. We pray that you would give us more grace to go and do those things that you have put in front of us to do, Lord. So that when people see Luke 4:18 fellowship, they wouldn't just see a building or a people group, but they would see a mighty God, a wonderful Savior, the Prince of Peace today in a world that is in need of peace. We love you, Lord, and we give you all the honor. That is due your name.
Christ, oh, I believe.
Amen. What an incredible song. You know, I love that statement in there, I believe. Do you believe today? Amen. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, open up to Luke chapter 2. This is the story of the birth of Jesus, Luke chapter 2. We also see it in Matthew 2, Matthew 1 and 2. Granted, that's the story of the wise men a few years later coming to see Jesus. In Luke 2, we see the birth and the shepherds coming to the manger scene. You know, we have started a series for this Advent that is Shepherd, Savior, King. Last week, we looked at Jesus being the Good Shepherd. And today, we're going to look at the understanding that Jesus is the Savior. As we begin today, I just want to ask this question. Doesn't it feel great to be invited? Now think about it for a moment. Whenever you're invited, you feel as if you're a part. You get to be a part of something. You may think about a time where you were invited and you enjoyed and were thankful, but you may also feel that there was a time that you weren't invited and there was hurt and pain. You know, I was just sitting there thinking about some moments in my life where I was invited to things, such as when I was a kid, I got invited to a birthday party, and I was like, man, this is awesome, right? I got to go and enjoy, and my mom had to go, or my dad had to go and buy a gift for them, right? But I got to go and just have this wonderful time. And then later in life, some of you may remember the time you got invited or accepted to the college that you wanted to go to. Y'all remember that? You got a letter in the mail that said you were accepted or you were invited to come and be a part. Some of you may be disappointed in the fact that you got a letter that says you weren't invited to be a part. I'll never forget when I was invited to come and be a part of the Kanakuk Institute, which just absolutely changed my life in so many ways. You may remember a time that you were invited to come and be a part of a job. You got a job offer, and they were inviting you to come be part of that job. I remember when Brother Fred called me and said, David, I really believe that you are to be down here in Mobile, Alabama, and to serve at Luke 4:18. And that invitation was just something that blessed my heart. I remember just this past year as I thought about invitations and being invited, and when Jerry Carl, our House representative, called and said, David, we want to invite you to come and open Congress in prayer. You know, we think about these invitations and they just do something in our heart. It's like we get to be, we feel wanted or a part of something. Today, as we look at this story of Advent, we're going to see one of the greatest invitations ever seen. In Luke chapter 2, we're going to just pick up in verse 4. In verse 4 through 20, we see this invitation. We see this, the birth of the Messiah. It says in Luke 2, we're going to read in verse 4 through 20, Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her first son, her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into the heavens, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about the Christ. And all who had heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, she treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. And Father, I pray today that we would just allow the Holy Spirit to speak. Put me on the front row and speak. Let me hear also and place into my life all that you are sharing. And Father, we just want your name to be glorified today. For it's in your precious and holy name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. When we look at this passage, the first thing that we must see is in verse 9 through 11. And in verse 9 through 11, we see that there is a Savior for all people. For all people. It says this in verse 9, "And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people.'" You may want to underline that. You may want to circle the word "all" there. That the Savior has been born for all people. Verse 11 tells us that it's the Savior. It says, "For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now I shared with you last year that in this moment we have the greatest birth announcement ever known. You know, when Emmy and Sam... When Leslie was pregnant with them and when she gave birth, we sent out cards to let people know this birth announcement. And it was so exciting and people would come. I still have a picture of Brother Fred holding Emmy and me standing next to him, and then Brother Fred holding Samuel and me standing next to him. And it was this exciting moment. But here in this passage, this is truly the greatest birth announcement, that God sent a multitude of angels in the night sky to proclaim, hey, that Jesus, the Savior, has been born. I also think that it's very interesting when you look at verse 9. It says, "And the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." The glory of the Lord shone around them. Think about this for a moment. If you were here on Wednesday nights, we studied about the tabernacle and the furnitures and the pieces of the tabernacle. And we talked about how the glory of the Lord filled the Holy of Holies. But then we saw how when the ark was taken by the Philistines, that the glory of the Lord had departed until David brings back the ark, and they celebrate, they rejoice, and then Solomon builds the temple. And when Solomon builds the temple, it says that the cloud filled the temple, and that the glory of the Lord had returned. But then we see when they went into exile and they went to Babylon, it says that the glory of the Lord departed, as it says that in Ezekiel. And then we don't see this feeling, this smoke feeling, the temple. And we have this silence period of 400 years until in the night sky it says the glory of the Lord shone around them. Think about this for a moment. God dwelt in the Holy of Holies, and now he has put on flesh. Jesus is now the glory of the Lord is dwelling amongst the people as he has been born this day. Who is he? It says that he is the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of the world for all people. Now, Jesus was born, and he was born as Savior. Now, what did he save us from? We see this in Matthew 1, 21. When the angel is speaking to Joseph, it says this in Matthew 1, 21. "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Very specific. Joseph is like, whoa, she's pregnant. I'm gonna step away from this engagement. And the angel comes and says, no, listen, you need to take her to be your bride. She has, the Holy Spirit has placed Christ within her womb. And that this child will be the Savior of the world. He will save your people from their sins. How will he save the people from their sins? Jesus speaks of this in John 3, verse 17. Jesus said, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So we recognize that Jesus is the Savior and he saves people from their sin. And then we see that Jesus himself says that he will save people through himself. Well, how does he save people through himself? I'm glad you asked. Matthew 20 speaks this very clearly. Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served, and to give my life as a ransom for many. How is Jesus going to save you and me from our sin? How is he going to save his people from their sin? By giving his life as a ransom. By living a perfect life and dying the death that you and I deserve. By going to the cross and placing our sin upon him so that through his death we may be forgiven. This is why we celebrate Christmas, church. The Son of God stepped out of heaven, fully God, taking on the likeness of man. He came to give his life as a ransom for sinners. This is so big. This is huge. Like, this is so wonderful that I can't even comprehend the fact that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, would give his only begotten Son so that I and so that you may be saved. Jesus is the Savior. And I want you to recognize that it says here that he's the Savior for all people. I think that in summing up this point, that Jesus is the Savior specifically for all people, I think that Peter kind of sums this up in Acts chapter 5. If you remember in Acts chapter 5, Peter was thrown in prison and then said, hey, they let him out and they said, listen, you can preach, but you can't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. You can share, but you can't share in the name of Jesus. And this is what Peter says, and this is actually gives the order first, and then Peter speaks in verse 29, but the order was given to him in verse 28. We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. And then he gives this incredible just defense. I love this. He says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you put to death by hanging him on the cross. He is the one whom God exalted to the right hand as a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and what? And forgiveness of sins. I love this. Peter says, you tell me I can't talk about Jesus anymore? Let me just tell you, I'm going to obey God rather than man. And let me tell you who Jesus is. God sent Jesus to die. He rose again. And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father as Prince and Savior to grant repentance, salvation to you and to me, and forgiveness of our sins. And then he says in verse 32, and we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom has given to those who obey him. Church, we recognize in the Christmas story, yes, last week Jesus is the Good Shepherd. This week we recognize that he is the Savior for all. He is the Savior, the one who saves us from the penalty that we deserve from our sin. Then we also see the angel shares first that he's the Savior, but not only that, but there's an invitation. The angels give an invitation to the shepherds. Look at verse 13 and verse or 12, 13, and 14. The angels say to the shepherds, this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, let's stop there for a second. How is this an invitation? When somebody says to you, listen, here's what you're going to find, is ultimately them saying, you must go to find this. Once you find this, you will recognize what we have said is true. For them to say this is what you're going to find is that this is an invitation for you to the shepherds to go. If they don't go, they'll never see what they were called to find, which was Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior. There's an invitation here to the shepherds to come and see Jesus, the Savior of the world. But church, as we saw just a moment ago in verse 10, it will be for all people, which means this invitation is not simply for the shepherds, but it's for all people. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires for all men to be saved. Who desires for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is so important for us to catch this. The invitation that was given to the shepherds to go and see the Messiah, the Savior of the world, is the same invitation that God gives to every person on this earth today. He gives an invitation for all of us to come and see. God is inviting you, and he's inviting me to Jesus, the Savior of the world. So, how does God invite? How does God invite you? By drawing men and women to himself. John 6, verse 44 speaks of this invitation. Jesus says this. He says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Why does it say that no one can come unless the Father draws him? Have you ever thought about that? You're like, man, like, so the Father has to draw someone. Why does that require that? I believe it's this. It speaks of how depraved we are in our sin. Outside of God drawing us, we would never, in our sinful state, ever go to Christ. Our sinful state would constantly lead us astray from the Messiah, from the Savior. That's the reason why. Because none of us in our sin would want to come to Jesus. But God draws us. And you may say, well, who does God draw? I believe God's drawing every person. And this is why I believe that. Psalm 19, verse 1 and 4 shows us that the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the works of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. It says this in verse 4. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun. What this is saying is that God is speaking through all of creation that there is a creator. And the fact that there is a creator means he created you and he created me. The scripture says that he formed us in our mother's womb in Psalm 139. Church, we must recognize that the Creator has, throughout creation, is speaking and telling you of a creation, and a Creator, excuse me. Then we recognize that because we've been created, that because of sin, we've been separated. Listen, not only that, but God's drawing us again. It says this in Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that we are without excuse. Listen, God is drawing all people to himself. The question is will you receive the invitation? Sometimes people look at this passage about in John 6, verse 44, where it says that no one come unless the Father draws them. Sometimes people look at that and say, well, God's only drawing some people. Well, that is in contrary to the fact that he desires for all men to be saved. It's also in contrary to the fact that the angel said that Jesus, the good news of the birth of Jesus, is for all men. Jesus, God, is constantly drawing people by throughout his creation, through people in the church sharing the good news. He's constantly drawing people to himself so that none of us are without excuse. So how will you respond to the invitation to the Savior? Well, I think that we have three different responses in the birth story of Jesus. First is the shepherds. In verse 15 and 16, I've preached on this many times. Y'all know that you've probably underlined this. You may have written this in your Bible like every December. I love sharing this. What did the shepherds do? They said, let us go straight to Bethlehem. We're not going to go to left or the right. We're going straight to Bethlehem. It also says that they went in a hurry, which means that the shepherds who had been with all these animals and probably didn't smell the best and probably weren't in their best attire went straight to Bethlehem without getting cleaned up. Their response was, I'm in need of a Savior. And the Savior has been born for all people. And I'm going straight to Bethlehem. I'm not going to clean myself up. I'm going straight to fall on my face before the Messiah. Church, we really need to respond the way that the shepherds did. So often we want to say, well, we got to clean ourselves up. We've got to make sure we look our best. We've got to put the greatest smile on our face. God knows your heart. God knows your heart. And what he's calling you to do is come just as you are. Just as he called the shepherds, just as they are. The lowliest of the low. In some sense, could have even been known as the outcast. He called them to come just as they are. Were. Two other responses that I pray is not your response to the Savior and the invitation. One is in Matthew 2 is King Herod. King Herod's response to the invitation to Jesus was, I'm gonna kill him. I'm gonna remove him. His desire was to deal with the Messiah by getting rid of him. Herod said that the birth of Jesus is hostile to his own personal agenda. We see this response today. People say all the time they want to get rid of the Bible because they say it's narrow-minded or intolerant. People say that they desire for Christianity to stay in the building because ultimately they don't want to have to be confronted with the truth. And so what do? They're hostile to Christianity. They're hostile to the Bible. People say we need to remove portions of the Bible. People say that the Bible is intolerant or narrow-minded or all these different things. And I tell them, if you think that, take it up with God. They want to take it up with me. I'm like, why don't you take it up with the author? But how often do people today act just like Herod when being invited to the gospel? Because it is a personal attack on their own selfish agenda. They want to remove, get rid of, just as Herod wanted to remove the Savior. But what else in chapter 2 of Matthew, we also see the response of the religious people. Have you ever thought about this for a moment? The Magi had come. The wise men had come from the east. And they had traveled afar, right? They had traveled from a long distance. And they get there and they meet up with Herod. And they tell Herod all about what's happened. Herod pulls all the religious people together and say, hey, what's going on here? Help me understand. And in Matthew 2, the religious people say, well, it's in Bethlehem that he's supposed to be born. Now, this just made my head hurt this Christmas as I was thinking about this. The religious people, one, they knew, right, what the scripture has spoken. But then they were told in that moment that these people have come from afar. They've come from the east. They're here because they believe the Messiah has been born. And they didn't go with them. They didn't go with them. They weren't even curious. They were like, well, here's what it says. You can go find out for yourself. Like, they were given an opportunity to say, whoa, maybe I missed it. what's going on? Like, this is happening. I'm going to go with the wise men. I'm going to go see that who has been born. But instead, we don't see them go with them. Why? Because the religious people responded by saying, hey, we believe that the Messiah is coming, but he's going to come in a way different way than some baby in Bethlehem in a manger. It's going to be one that is born to a family that is a conqueror or that will bolster our own status within the religious realm. Listen, they want salvation, but they wanted it their way that would keep them in their own standing above the people. Today we see this response when people say, yeah, I have salvation. I believe in Jesus. And they say that the reason that they know that they have salvation, the reason they know they're going to go to heaven is because of their good works or because of their church membership or because of giving enough money. Think about it. When somebody thinks that they can come to Jesus and accept the invitation to the Messiah any other way than giving their life, they're coming just like the religious people of the day. They're saying, no, I've got to show how valor and how strong and how much I keep the law and how clean and how good I am. And God's saying, come like the shepherds, filthy and dirty, but with a heart for the Savior. You know, I began to think about this as I dwelt on this message. All these ways of good works, church membership, giving, all these different ways, if that's how salvation is purchased, if that's how you get salvation by doing these things, I'm telling you, it's actually easier to do all of that than it is to give your life to Jesus. Which is why the religious people didn't go. For them, it was easier to give, to do good works and to give things and to show their prestige than it was to say, I'm willing to give every bit of who I am to follow Christ. Church, how will you respond to the invitation today? Jesus is drawing. God is drawing people to himself. How will you respond? Will you be like the shepherds who ran to Jesus recognizing that they were filthy, but yet they needed a Savior? Or will you be like Herod? Or will you be like the religious people of the day? Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The invitation to the kingdom is now. There is a day that is coming that each person will breathe their last here on earth. And if you die in your sins, you die an eternal death. The reason for this is that Jesus, the Savior of the world, has come. He took on flesh at Christmas. We celebrate this. He died on the cross. We celebrate this at Resurrection Sunday. He took our sin and our shame upon the cross. He rose again 3 days later, conquering death, hell, and the grave, conquering sin. And those who deny Jesus, those who deny the invitation, their sins have not been forgiven. Why? Hebrews even tells us, he speaks of this in Hebrews 10, 26 through 31. It says, if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. What is saying here, the author of Hebrews is saying, is that Jesus is the only sacrifice for sin. If you do not accept that invitation, there is no other invitation. Verse 27 of Hebrews 10 says, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without the mercy on the testament of two or three witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled under the foot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Would you respond to the invitation to the Savior today? Would you submit to the Lordship of Christ? Would you trust and believe, laying everything else down? The invitation is for all people. So we see in this passage that the Savior of the world has come. We see in this passage an invitation to all. We see in this passage three different responses, at least within the birth of Christ, of the response of the shepherd and the response of Herod and the response of the religious people. But can I tell you, for those who respond to the invitation, there will be a transformation of their life. Look at this in verse 20. I love this. It says, the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it has been told to them. Church, when you encounter the Savior, you will never be the same. Let me just say that again. When you truly encounter the Savior, when you receive the invitation that the Savior has given to you, you will never be the same. Wednesday night, we talked about the wise men, and we recognize that the wise men came one way and left another. And I think that there is some symbolic understanding there of the fact that you will never leave the same way that you came. When you recognize that Jesus is the Savior of the world, when you submit to the Lordship of Christ, your life will be completely different. When you encounter Jesus, Christ changes you from the inside out. You were dead spiritually, and now you've been made alive. You are now a child of the living King. You're alive. You're set free. You've been bestowed every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You bear fruit by abiding in the Holy Spirit, in Christ, and the Holy Spirit produces that. You have peace. You have joy. Jesus changes everything, church. The shepherds had seen the Messiah. They had been called. They've been given an invitation. They went straight there. They worshiped. They gave their life and they left glorifying God. The scripture speaks all throughout the New Testament of the transformation that takes place. At the start, I asked you to think about how excited you were to receive an invitation. But church, I'm here to tell you that the greatest invitation you'll ever be offered is the invitation to the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today, the Creator God of the universe has invited you into His kingdom. He's called you by name. He sent His only Son to this earth, ultimately to die on a cross and 3 days later rise again so that He could offer, that He would offer this invitation of eternal life to you. So the question is, would you receive that invitation? You know, I shared with you that at the beginning, one of the greatest things is being invited. You feel welcomed. But can I tell you the second greatest thing about an invitation? Is when you're given something that you don't deserve and you get to offer it to others. And think about this for a moment. I hear on these game shows and different things, somebody wins and it's like a trip for four or a trip for two, which means they get to go and they get to offer someone else an opportunity to go, don't they? You don't deserve it. But you've been given this incredible opportunity to go somewhere and you get to go. I mean, think about that. Have you ever gotten to give something to someone that you didn't deserve, that you were just a messenger, but yet you got to come and say, hey, I would love for you to come and go with me? Church, all throughout Scripture, God is telling you that when you receive the invitation, you also get to take and share the invitation with others. The greatest invitation of all time to come and be with the Savior of the world. to be forgiven of your sins and to be part of the kingdom of God. So for those who don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a question of how will you respond to the invitation? And for believers in Christ, the question is, are you seeing the transformation in your life? And are you offering the invitation to the kingdom of God, the greatest invitation you could ever give someone? Are you offering that to all those around? I pray this Christmas, not only would many receive the invitation, but that all of us would offer the invitation to the kingdom. All because of what Jesus has done for you and all people.